Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Travel Podcast, where we interview leaders from throughout the sports event industry. This is Justin Shaw, Associate Editor of Sports Travel, and our guest today is Ron Price, Chief Executive Officer of Visit Phoenix. But before we begin, first, a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Sports Travel Podcast is being sponsored by Visit Phoenix. It's all fun and games in Phoenix, and the games are really, really big. So big that Greater Phoenix has been crowned as Championship Valley. From the NFL to the NCAA, mega sports events have become as iconic to Phoenix as the Sonoran Desert Saguaros. And the same facilities and support services that make supersized events win big are available to competitions and events of all sizes and skill levels. Reimagine your next event in Greater Phoenix at visitphoenix.com/meetings. And now, onto the conversation. Ron Price has been the Chief Executive Officer of Visit Phoenix since July 2021. Prior to the move to Phoenix, Price had stops in Arlington and San Antonio, Texas, as well as more than a decade with Marriott in several places, including Denver and Southern California. Phoenix has become somewhat of a basketball mecca, having just hosted the Men's Final Four, with the Women's Final Four on tap for 2026. Phoenix will also host the WNBA All-Star Game this summer and the NBA All-Star Game in 2027. There's a lot going on in the Phoenix metropolitan area, and Ron Price is the man at the center of it. We have Ron Price from Visit Phoenix, the Chief Executive Officer, here with us today. Ron, thank you so much for joining us and taking some time to speak with us.
Yeah, Justin, happy to be here with you.
Let's talk some basketball, because Phoenix is doing a lot of basketball these days. The Final Four just took place in Glendale at State Farm Stadium for the second time in 7 years. I think the first thing people want to know is, what type of logistics go into hosting a basketball event in a football stadium?
That's a great question. You know, it's changed years ago. I mean, they used to hold these events in arenas and basketball arenas, and then you get into, you know, how do you set this thing up to play in a football stadium? It really is, when you get there and you take a look around, you are putting seats on top of seats because you have to have the sight line. So we work with a great group called Populous, and anyone in a big city that's worked with these major events is very familiar with that company, Populous. And they come in and do a phenomenal job in creating the setup for the venue. The sight lines are important. You think of like here where the Suns play. I mean, we may be getting, you know, 20,000 people there, and now you're going to take it up to 75,000 people. You have to make sure that, oh no, by the way, the tickets, they're not the cheapest tickets, right, for these events. So you have to make sure that everyone has a really good sight line and is able to enjoy the sport and the game. So yeah, the logistics, a lot of it is the heaviest lift when you get out to the stadium area. Yeah, think of all the rigging involved. It looks like, you know, a spider web holding up the scoreboard in the middle of the stadium there. And just the movement of that many people in and out of the venue is a lot of fun to kind of watch it pull off. And so I remember back in the day, was it like UCLA and Houston Cougars played in the Astrodome? That was kind of the very first time that anyone played in that big of a venue. But it's a huge lift on the logistics side.
I was there in 2017, the last time the Final Four was there. I was at the national championship game between North Carolina and Gonzaga. And the sheer massive size when you walk in there, it's an NFL stadium. But when you walk in there and it's set up for basketball, it's just a whole different vibe. How many people does it take to organize something like this, to get the court right, to get the spider web with the scoreboard? Are we talking about hundreds of people doing this?
We're hundreds, yes, hundreds of people. And they're here for a month prior, getting it ready. And the amount of detail that goes into this, I mean, I would say Populous has it down to a science now, which is great. But can you imagine the first time going into this and setting it up and realizing you got to take seats out to put seats in? And what I mean by that is, you know, you look at a normal bowl, You gotta straighten that out, right? So you have a better sight line into the court. So yeah, you have a massive crew, hundreds and hundreds of people come into a city a month out to start setting this up. And then you get into the logistics of it. You start laying down the court, then you gotta paint the court. And you gotta make sure the logos are right on the court. So yeah, it's a lot of undertaking that people, sometimes you just show up and like, this is really cool to see how, you know, what it looks like on game day. But just know that there's been years of planning in advance.
So I want to stay with men's basketball for a moment. So the region has had two Final Fours since 2017, but there hasn't been a West Regional since 2012 or opening round actions since 1996, if my research was correct. Will we see some Phoenix action as far as the NCAA bid cycle for the regionals or the opening round action here soon?
Yeah, in fact, we're in that conversation right now. And, you know, we love hosting major events. We love hosting sports in general. We're a sports city. And, you know, we have a wonderful arena downtown and Footprint Center where the Suns play and the Mercury play. So, you know, I think that's would be a great spot to host a regional round. So, yeah, you're on target. I think, you know, that is for us something that we get excited about, too. We love hosting the championships, but like I said, we're a sports city. If there's something that we can do to help host and bring people to our destination, we're going to do it.
Now let's switch over to the women's side of basketball. And you've got the women's Final Four coming for the first time to the area in 2026 at the Footprint Center. And this summer, the WNBA All-Star Game will be there for the first time. So how important is it for the region to start bringing in these major women's basketball events, to couple them with the men's events, and to give the little girls of the region, you know, some taste of what they can be looking forward to in their future if they choose to play?
No, that's it. Is, you know, we love sports and we also love our Mercury, and they have some a huge following here. I think that's what we love about Phoenix, and I would just say the greater Phoenix area. And, you know, we pull for both the men's and women's teams. So then we start talking about amateur sports. If we're looking at, you know, 26 for the women's Final Four, we're just excited about hosting that, as we are, you know, the Super Bowl or the men's Final Four. It gives us a great opportunity to tell our story. And to your point, it's like, anytime we go after a major event, the questions we ask is, how does this help our community? It's not just about the dollars and cents, but it's the social impact. It's how do we give our citizens a great opportunity to get out there and have a great time, but also dream, you know. And I think of, you know, I have two girls of my own, and I loved being able to take them and putting them in a place where they can see themselves when they grow up, whether that's in sports or something else. So there's a lot that goes into this. We're already talking about leadership conferences, women-led leadership conferences. The WNBA All-Star Game this summer is tied into that as well. And we love you have so many great opportunities to take advantage, bringing in thought leaders, really highlighting some great business leaders that are here in Phoenix, the women-owned, women-led corporations. And it's like, great, this gives us an opportunity to tell that story now. And we're such a dynamic city and destination. I think for us, we get excited about telling those stories when these groups are in.
So one last basketball question before we move on. You'll cap this run in 2027 with the NBA All-Star Game coming for the first time since 2009. So I just have to ask, is Phoenix trying to become the basketball capital of the country? I mean, is this country domination? Is this what the plan is?
You know, that would be fun if that was the plan. I think it's just, I've been in a lot of different cities, and each one, it seems like, you know, you hit the stride where you just start hosting all these events. And I think that's what we're running into now. But I will tell you, basketball is big out here. You can imagine, you know, Suns are part of the DNA of this community. And with our new owner, Matt Ishbia, being a huge basketball fan, it just kind of throws gasoline on that fire of you know, the community. But yeah, we're even thinking about things past this, that, you know, what else can we host here as it relates to basketball? And I was just talking to someone with the Suns organization early this week, and that's it. I mean, there's so many great opportunities when it comes to all sports, really. But having, you know, the Footprint Arena right down the street from where I'm sitting in the middle of our convention district sets up a great opportunity to host these basketball events.
Now, I want to take a little bit broader view here of the Phoenix metropolitan area. I know there's several other tourism entities there. I have done some things with Visit Glendale. We've got Scottsdale, Mesa. So what's the balance between these organizations, and how much collaboration is there when it comes to hosting any major event in any of these different small areas, or if it's in downtown Phoenix? Are you all helping each other? And what's that relationship like between Visit Phoenix and some of these other entities?
That's a great question. There has to be a great collaboration. And I'll tell you two sides of it. One is in our everyday that we do with Visit Phoenix. And, you know, we're the Greater Phoenix Convention and Visitors Bureau, and our DBA is Visit Phoenix. So, you know, we take it upon ourselves to tell the story of the Valley. And that includes Glendale and Scottsdale and Mesa and all these wonderful cities around us. And to the point of a visitor doesn't know they're crossing a line in the road and they're leaving one city to the other. And so we just want to make sure that we're helping elevate the stories and work closely with Glendale and Scottsdale and all of our neighboring destination partners, because they have great stories to tell and they live there. If we can use our megaphone to tell their stories to a worldwide audience, we're going to do that. And so that's where the partnership comes in. And I'll tell you, on the flip side is, like, for the Final Four, I was co-chair of the local organizing committee, and it makes you really think about sharing the love. And when we bring in these major events, it's not about Phoenix. And I noticed it's the Phoenix Final Four, but it is the Arizona Final Four. And, you know, how do we be conscious and focused on making sure that we're spreading events out as far and wide as possible so that everyone feels that? I know from the attendee standpoint, and when I say as far and wide as possible, our footprint is a great setup for hosting these events. We have parties and receptions in Scottsdale. We're doing the give back campaigns out in Glendale and school initiatives all across the valley. That's really what it's all about. So having that ability to collaborate and work together and asking our partners, hey, what would you like for us to highlight? What are some great things that we can be pitching to the NCAA in this matter? But we do that with all of our big events. So I think we have a very special place here where everyone gets along, and we're very competitive to win big events for the region. And we also work very close to help everyone be successful. We know that kind of the all tides rises all the boats theory is living very well here.
This edition of the Sports Travel Podcast is sponsored by Visit Phoenix. That roaring sound you hear so often in Greater Phoenix is all part of the Sonoran Desert mystique. It's the thousands of fans cheering on the PGA Pros at the 16th hole of the Waste Management Open. It's the earth-rumbling support for the NCAA's top basketball teams, or the crisp crack of a home run being launched during the Cactus League spring training. Welcome to Championship Valley. Why are we at the top of our game when it comes to sports? Well, the desert made us do it. Explore more at visitphoenix.com.
So the Phoenix market is obviously one of the most powerful in the country. And you know, you can go after any major event you want, like you said, conferences, other things, not just sports. But where does sports fit into the big picture of the city? When you're planning things out each fiscal year and you're kind of going through everything, when it comes to conventions and other events, you know, how big of a part are sports and how do they kind of fit into that overview when you're going through your plans?
Well, when you think about the major events, okay, you're thinking about the Super Bowl, the Final Fours, All-Star Games, if you will, the things that are recognized, you know, those are anomalies. You know, we may not get another Super Bowl back for another, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And so we have a long runway to plan for that. Where you start thinking about how sports plays a major impact, you're really talking about the amateur sports side of things. Think of, you know, these volleyball tournaments. I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were telling me where all they're traveling, where they've been this year and where they're still going this year to watch their daughter play in these volleyball tournaments. And it's Orlando, it's Chicago, it's Denver, it's, you know. And so that to us gets us excited. And anytime we can bring families, then we also think about the economics of that. We know we have a great destination, but, you know, families come in, they're going to go out to eat. They're going to be, you know, going to our attractions. They're going to use this as a mini vacation anytime they have. So we get excited about that. That plays a big role into our thinking. In fact, we're the largest city in the U.S. without a sports commission. And so right now we are in the process of incubating that idea, because, you know, we know there's a lot of great opportunity when it comes to sports. And now it's about, you know, let's stand something up that makes sense. And because we do realize the impact sports has on a community. And we have all these great public facilities as well for our community. And I think that's going to grow in the future. So it really gives us an indication that, you know, we need to be out there proactively bringing these great events in to fill up these great venues, including our downtown.
When it comes to the narrative of sports, a lot of times it seems like there might be an East Coast bias because a lot of the media people are there. But what have you seen when it comes to the appetite for sports and the passion of the sports fans in Phoenix and in Arizona in general? I've been down there for a lot of different events and I've seen it firsthand. But, you know, what have you seen in your couple years there as far as how these fans are down there?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, you know, Phoenix is such a great destination just as a visitor. And when anytime you go to a destination that's holding one of these events, you also want to know, like, hey, what else can I do when, you know, I'm not at the event? For example, Final Four Sunday is a dead day. Sunday, you're on your own. So what we find out here is people come in because they're going to go play golf with their friends, or, you know, they're going to a great resort and spa days, or they're going to go hiking or hot air ballooning, as we saw this past weekend. So they, you know, we see a huge amount of interest coming out here in the first place. And then when we layer on a big event that's going to attract even more, it builds that excitement. And to the, you know, this past weekend, you know, when we got to the final game, we saw a huge rush of Purdue fans and UConn fans coming in on Sunday. And they're just now leaving. Here it is in the middle of the week because they stayed after and we're doing some fun things. So, you know, that to me gets me excited. And in some of my past cities, you know, San Antonio was kind of the same way, North Texas as well. You know, you get into these, what are the other things that are going to get me excited about going to that destination other than just the event? And yeah, the event's probably bringing them to it. But, you know, if we can keep them one more day, it's kind of we have a little strategy in house. It's like, you know, the one more day, if I can entice them to go hike Camelback Mountain, that's going to keep them here one more day. And so we have a lot of those one more day things in the valley.
So before you came to visit Phoenix, you had stops in Arlington, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, as well as more than a decade with Marriott in several places, including Denver, Southern California. So you've been to a lot of big markets. How does the Phoenix market compare to some of those other large markets you've been in? And what have you found to be some of the advantages of being in Phoenix?
I tell you what, it's kind of funny when you look back in life sometimes and you realize that every place that you've been or every opportunity or scenario you've been through kind of sets you up for the next one. And if you look at my career, it's, you know, being in a San Antonio, great city, great convention city, North Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Arlington being kind of the sports and entertainment capital out there. As you come out here, it's kind of all of that in one area. One of the top 10 destination cities for conventions and meetings. I think the number 8 convention center in the U.S. by Wall Street Journal this past year. And then you get into the resort side, right? And the golf and the spas and everything else, the luxury side of things. And then you get into the big events, which North Texas does very well, as well as San Antonio. So this is that one place where it feels like it's all here. And that got me really excited about it. And so when you think about that, our airport being just outside of downtown, as you know, you've been here, it takes you just a few minutes to get from the airport, which is, I think it's the number 13 runway airport in the U.S., number 1 airport rate this past year. It's great to have these amenities so close. And when you hit the ground, you're there. It doesn't take you a long time to be able to drop your stuff off and get out and start having some fun. So those are the things that we love. I've been out here for, gosh, I would say over 2 decades as a visitor, or going to conferences. And I've always liked Phoenix, never thinking I would live here. And now that we live here, we still have that same joy and excitement as a tourist does, as we get to go explore. And you know, these amenities are in our backyard. So those are those type of things that as people come out here for meetings and events, they get to experience and kind of walk away loving us. And you know, there's a reason we're the fastest growing county and city in the country right now. And people are really discovering, you know, what it's like to live out here. So we love sharing that.
So you took this job in July 2021 during the pandemic. And I know Arizona started opening up a little sooner than some other places did and allowed some fans to come back for some of the hockey games or whatnot. But was it difficult to start a new position of this magnitude in those circumstances, even though Arizona might have been a little further along than some of the East Coast cities? But still, I mean, there were still restrictions. There was still a lot going on in the world. Was that difficult at all, or were you able to navigate it okay?
I would say we have a great team in place. So when I got here, we had a great team of leaders, as we do today, that were doing an incredible job navigating through what we all experienced. And to your point, we were able to open up a little sooner. And this is, I just told this story yesterday to a group where they were asking something similar. And you think about all these wonderful resorts, it's the largest collection of resorts in the country are all right here. And so they have amenities like golf. So you can get out to one of these resorts that were partially opened if you're in California or another area that was really, you know, locked down for their specific reasons. But you could come out here and have a little bit of a vacation. You could get away and you could spread out And I think that was the key. We have enough places here that allowed for people to safely travel and spread out. And so it kept the lights on, if you will. I say that knowing that there were some places in the U.S. which were devastated. They couldn't do these type of things. You know, we knew that. So we felt very blessed that we had just a small opportunity for people to come out, experience a vacation and the time of all the stress and turmoil that we experienced. So, you know, as I always say, the team here felt very blessed. I know that our hotels, our restaurants and attractions that were open felt the same way, that we just had those natural resources that people can get out. You can go out and hike and bike. You can get out and play golf. You can, you know, you can enjoy, you know, some of our huge pools and spas area just by spreading out. And so that was definitely a benefit of just having those type of amenities here.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl for a minute. I know you mentioned it a couple of times before. It's obviously a very big deal economically for any region. So Phoenix just had its fourth Super Bowl in 2023. And now, but I have to ask, with Los Angeles and Vegas both having brand new stadiums and both hosting in the last couple of years, what does Phoenix need to do to ensure it stays in that regular rotation now that there is some stiff competition out west in that sector to kind of, you know, host every couple of years?
Yeah, I tell you what, we do not take hosting the Super Bowl for granted. And to your point, you have these incredible facilities that have opened around us. And I get excited going and seeing these facilities and more to come. I think Nashville is at Buffalo and Nashville that are coming online here in the next several years. So, you know, and great for those cities. And so we are very intentional when we go after a Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, we get to work with a great owner and Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals. And I think intentional is it. We do want to host. So I think we set up great. And I know that Roger Goodell has given a lot of praise to hosting Super Bowls out here this past one and even in years past, because we just have just a unique setup. You bring in all these corporate sponsors into a destination like ours, and instead of thinking about what hotel they're going to be in downtown or whatnot, they can take over a resort. You know, they can entertain in unique ways out here. Our downtown is set up for hosting the Fan Fest really well, just like many other downtowns. But we have to be very aware that these other cities are going to get in the mix. And so demand is always high for this. And then our supply is growing. Who can host it? So we understand that. We're, like I said, we're very intentional. And, you know, when you host these big events too, there's a cost involved with these, as you can imagine. A city that goes through this and hosts it, you think of all the staff and city staff and city support, county support, whether it be from security or volunteers. So we're very cognizant of that. And we want to make sure that we're always ready. And I think we have a really good destination, a great team that's ready to host. But to your point, these type of events will move around a little bit more than they have. We remember, you know, back when I was in Arlington, Texas, we knew that. And I remember when SoFi opened out in LA, you know, AT&T at the time there was nothing like it. And then you look at SoFi and it's like, okay, well, there's $4 billion versus the couple billion that Jerry built and the city of Arlington built. So I think with all that, we'll see what happens in the future. But like I said, you think of the time of year when Super Bowl happens. For us, that's paradise. That's the time of year where everyone wants to be here. And I know the fans, the teams, and all the corporate sponsors love getting out here in that time of year and enjoying the weather and enjoying a great sporting event.
So I'm going to wrap this up by asking you a very open-ended question. What major sporting event that Phoenix hasn't ever hosted or hasn't hosted in a really long time would you like to see come to the city at some point?
Well, we've hosted a lot. I, you know what? And I'll just say this because one of our staffers just went out to WrestleMania, and I've hosted a WrestleMania, and I've been to a WrestleMania, and it just made me smile like, okay, we got to go after another WrestleMania because those are fun events. And so I would just say that's one that I know we're going to be pursuing here before too long, as just personally, I just love those events, and they're a lot of fun to host. So that'll be one.
All right, Ron, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Really great conversation, and congratulations on everything that you've been able to do, and good luck in everything that you're going to be bidding on.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it. Good seeing you.
This has been another edition of the Sports Travel Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on all your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Past episodes are also available at sportstravelmagazine.com, which features breaking news and in-depth features on stories related to the sports events industry. Be sure to visit us daily at sportstravelmagazine.com, at sportstravel on Twitter and Instagram, and at Sports Travel Magazine on Facebook and LinkedIn. Until then, this is Justin Shaw for Sports Travel. Thanks for listening.